I'm Holly Waymont, and this is Pediatrics Now for Parents. Health news in small bites for the busy parent in about 10 minutes or less. Today, we're talking about prescribing balance, time management strategies for the new year. And I'm thrilled today because here in the podcast studio, Dr. Dina Tom is joining me. Thank you so much for being here today, Dr. Tom.
Thank you.
And then you're also a wife, busy mother, and you round seeing patients in the hospital.
Yep, that's correct.
When I worked as a broadcast journalist and at KSAT 12 here locally, I loved the job, but you have no control over your time. You're constantly following the story. You're constantly on time. I mean, having to follow the story, and you could be called in at any time, middle of the night, whatever. And it seems like you can only keep that schedule for so long.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's oftentimes really just easier when other people tell us how we will use our time until we come out of the water and we realize when we're drowning that we have to do better. We have to figure out a way out and we don't know. So that's my attempt at helping people from my own experiences come out of that drowning feeling and taking control over part of your life.
I love that. And I know you teach workshops here at the University of Texas Health Science Center. And there's good news. You say there's no single standard for work-life balance. And in fact, we have more time than our grandparents.
Yes. Yes, I love that. I heard that in a TED Talk. And I loved the idea of that because it's so true. We say all the time that we don't have time. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. But I just imagine thinking about what our great grandparents, how much time it took them to get ready to make food, to prepare the house for winter, right? Like everything they did took time, and they didn't have many options to control their time.
You can't order on the internet something to come maybe in an hour.
Deliver our groceries. Like, no, I mean, I'm sure there was maybe some wealthy person who could get someone to do that for him, but largely no. And we have a lot more at our fingertips now, but I think that provides so much distraction also.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. So it could be cutting into our time because of all of the distraction. And you teach in your workshop, it comes down to picking, is it one word or one goal?
Yeah. You know, my husband, I have to give him credit because he's been doing this for years. And I love the idea of New Year's resolutions, but he likes the idea of a word a year. And then in reading, preparing for my talks, and I really love the idea of having a theme word for the year or a value-based word for your year, because everybody has different goals every year, or at least I do. And I imagine sometimes we get to the end of the year and realize I really didn't take good care of myself this year, or I really wish I could have spent more time with my family, or I really wanted to get ahead at work this year. And there was a lot of things that came up. So I think it's a nice practice to allow ourselves to have this anchor word that we think about last year or what we want for ourselves this year. If I could look back on 2024 in December and say, I really felt like I worked hard for my values this year. And that's where I think everybody's word's going to be different. My daughter said her word this year is simplify, which I loved because she told me she thinks, she's 10, by the way, she thinks that she overthinks some things and maybe gets worked up about some things, and that her goal word for the year is to remember that she wants to keep things simple and take deep breaths. And I just love that that's her word. And so a reminder of that word when she's feeling overwhelmed.
And Dina, so are you saying, so then whatever we do or when we're trying to decide to say yes or no to something. So in your daughter's case, do you encourage her to think, how do I keep this simple? Or is this helping me helping me not to simplify?
I think both. I think it's when you're trying to make decisions on whether or not to take on a project or let something go, or someone asks you to do something, or you're distracted by something, or let's say you're looking at the value of something in your life, like maybe you do something that you're like, I really hate this. I don't want to do it anymore. Does it fit? Ask yourself, does this fit with my word? Does this fit with my value word for the year, my theme word for the year? And if not, then maybe that's a pretty good sign that we need to figure out a way to take some of that off your plate or transition it into something you do love.
Yeah. Okay. So your daughter's word is simplify.
And my word is commit. And I really struggled because I was trying to, I ruminated on this for several days and I went back and forth. But I think that I have, in my grand rounds, I talk about how I love to procrastinate. When I'm in it and I'm procrastinating, it feels so good. And then later I hate that I have procrastinated, right?
Part of the creative process, though,
yeah,
a little bit. But
maybe.
We're just justifying it.
Totally. But I think that for me, and part of that procrastinating, I find that sometimes I get to a point in a project or in a goal, I have a lot of energy about the beginning of it. And I have all these ideas and I start it and I just kind of peter out and it falls to the wayside. And, you know, something I really thought I was going to do, I don't end up finishing. And it tends to be more with my work, but that's why I commit this year, is I really want to remind myself that I have these goals, professional and personal, and not to give up, not to stop. When it feels like it's getting tough or I have uncertainty, that I go back and try to remember that energy that I had at the beginning of the year.
So maybe can you give us an example? Say if there's a meeting you were going to go to or something, just an example in your personal life.
Yeah. So professionally, I've had a few projects over the last 2 years since COVID, really. And I think I'm going to blame COVID, of course.
Like, yeah, we can blame COVID
again. We procrastinated all through COVID. But I had several projects that came out of COVID, lots of really good ideas that I, you know, began that collaborative process with other people and said, yeah, let's do this. I really loved the idea of creating this curriculum. And then there was another where I was going to write an article in a journal. And I, you know, started the process, contacted people, got connected to people. And then, you know, something else comes up in my life and I'm like, yeah, I can't really do that, or I don't have the time, or I don't really know what I'm doing. So I'm just not going to push into that discomfort. And then I look back and I'm like, well, now I look and I say, well, I never did that project that I had, that everybody was excited about. And I never wrote that paper that was going to help my career and was going to, you know, get me back in public, you know, doing some literature and publishing some papers. And I don't like that feeling. And so I have to stop doing that because I don't want to keep looking back thinking, oh, it's been another year that I haven't done X or Y.
And that, so your word being commit, it can apply to whether it's something wanting to write a new book or be there more for your kids or your husband. Or,
yeah.
It all comes down to that word.
And we have less time than we like to think of during different phases of our lives. So we don't actually have that much time with our children in the house. We don't have that much time when our children are young or when they, you know, before they leave for college. We don't have that much time with our parents before they get older or get sick or they pass away. We don't have that much time where we're healthy and we can climb a mountain. So we like to think of our life like we have our whole life. Not actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be a doomsday, but I think we have to recognize that our time is very, very precious.
And that could help inspire us to go climb the mountain when we might not feel like it.
Yes.
You know, and we always feel better after you go on the hike or run or walk in the sunshine or the rain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's this thought process I love too of changing our mindset about saying, I get to go to my kids' basketball game. I get to go exercise this morning. I get to I get to go to the DMV today.
I know that might be a hard one.
It might be hard. I come home and my kids want to show me something. And I sometimes hear the inner voice that is like, I have other things I need to do. And just really pushing that voice aside and saying, give this little person all of your love and attention. Like, it's the most important thing in the whole world for the next 15 minutes. I have 15 minutes and that makes such a big difference. But that's difficult, but we can do it. I know we can do it. And I've made some of those system changes that I talked about in my grand rounds, but about like becoming a morning person. I was never a morning person. I hated the mornings, but I just started this habit of making through, you know, lots of book reading, setting out my clothes the night before to go exercise, meeting up with a friend to do it, and really just told myself, all I got to do is just show up. I just have to show up. And once I do it enough times, it will become something I actually love doing. And now if I don't do it, it's become such a habit that if I don't do it, I feel uncomfortable not doing it. And if I don't go, I have to pay a fee, which I hate. That's like, I don't even want to pay a dollar. And then I text my friend, we go together and we go to the 6 a.m. workout class.
And that helps, but does that help motivate you? Cause you're like, I'm not paying that fee.
Absolutely. So the clothes are out. So there's,
I've got my friend depending on me. And I could get a fee.
Well, and my clothes are sitting out. So if I don't go, I have like a walk of shame into my closet where I see my clothes that were never put on.
Right.
And I'm like, yep, I didn't go to the gym. And I told myself I would. And I feel I don't like that discomfort. I'd rather go, even just tired and beat up, and show up. And it does make the day so much better. If anything, I feel like I have done one thing today that was... That was good for me. It was good for my quality of life, something I could control. Being a busy parent, I think that it goes back obviously to being intentional, but I think it can get a little bit messy when we're distracted by all of the things that we have going on in our lives, all the busyness, the doing the dishes, the making the dinners, the responding to text messages, that our kids are running in and out of the room. And so create a habit that's just you and the kids. Put your phone away, do something, whether that's reading at night, sitting at the table for dinner, sitting on the countertop when you're making dinner so you could talk about the day. But those things are really important for both you and your children or your family. And even if it's just 15 minutes, put the phone away. That's kind of my advice to make that more intentional and give that personal attention.
In a way, and teaching to not be so, to try not to be so distracted.
Exactly. Yeah. Just set a timer, 15 minutes. And when it goes off, then you can let go of the guilt. You've done it. And it does get easier. It just takes practice. Start with 5 minutes, go to 10, 15. It takes practice because it's a habit we've created.
And then try to do it as long as you can.
Yeah, sure. If you know that you have 3 hours at night, try and build it up to two. But and then remember, the goal is really... The goal is to be intentional. It's not to fill all your time with everybody else, because you still have to get all the things you have to get you in there somewhere. You have to get the dishes in there somewhere, right? You got to get everything in there. So it's not to spend all your time dedicated to someone else or just your family or whatever, but it's just to know what you're spending your time on.
Dr. Dina Tom, hospitalist and time management expert at the University of Texas Health Science Center. Thank you so much for being here today on Pediatrics Now.
Thank you for having me.
Good luck.